One of the most challenging things in our culture today is to raise a child as a single parent. This week, we're going to talk about mothers of sons when dad's not around.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And I think there's always been single moms. Even in the Bible, there's single moms. But at least we're talking about it now. I do appreciate that churches do have single mom ministries because it's so necessary. And even Sheridan House does so much for single moms here in this ministry. And that sort of is a sweet spot for you, right?
It is. And you're right. It was rare. It's interesting. My first book was called Single Parenting, and it was an overnight huge because there wasn't any. Because it was a great book. You didn't have to agree with me so quickly on that. But there weren't any other books. There was one other book by a lady named Virginia Watts Smith. And Mrs. Smith was, I believe, the wife of the vice president of Moody, and he had died. And she wrote a book on walking through it, and I wrote a book more on the pragmatics of being a single parent. And you just realize there wasn't anything out there, and we kind of weren't talking about it. But there have always been single parents, but the difference of always having single parents and guys go off to the Alamo or wherever they went, the difference was the community sort of wrapped around. And even there was a plan for that back in biblical days where a brother brought her into his home. His own brother dies. He brings the wife and the family into his home and becomes this big, weird extended family. I think it's always been here. We're just not sure what to do with it now because we're so disconnected as families. So there's not an extended family wrapped around and helping. The whole process of being a mother, and we'll talk another time about mothers of daughters and another time after that about mothers of daughters when dad's not around, but mothers of sons when dad's not around is a tough issue because mom doesn't think she knows the boy issues and how to deal with the boy issues. And that's why this is worthy of a whole week as she's thinking about it. But the very first thing for a mother post-divorce or death, and kind of two different issues, post-divorce or death of her husband, having a son, she's got to make a determination. And the determination is everything you hear when you're on the airplane. You know, if you're traveling with a small child, put your oxygen mask on first before you assist the small child. And it's kind of contrary to what you would think.
Right.
Why would I put my oxygen mask on first? Because as you're breathing the oxygen, you are in better shape to help the child. But so often helping the child while I'm not helping myself and spending myself helping the child and I'm not getting healthy creates a very unhealthy situation.
It's just so, like you say, unnatural though too, because you would rather spend yourself to make sure your child is fine.
Oh, she'd give up her life for that child.
Yeah.
I mean, she went through the birth process. She'd naturally give up her life for that child. But you want to give up your life and continue your life for that child. And so put your mask on first, get yourself the help you need to have. And so I think the very first step in mothers of sons will degender it a little bit and say just single moms when dad's not there. You've got to take care of you. And you've got to, as you take care of you, deal with some of the issues that got you to this point. Because this mom has to get healthy before she can help her son get healthy.
And that means a little bit of balance. And or a lot of balance in life, knowing yourself well enough to know when you're emotionally on edge, when you need a girl's night out, when you need just time alone. And really, I think every woman needs to know how to take care of it. Any mom actually has to find that balance. I'm still learning how it is because I'll go extreme and I'm not even a single mom.
Balance and then guilt plays a part in it. Mm-hmm. And okay, maybe I shouldn't have a life of my own. But I need a life of my own.
I only have 18 years with this kid. I'll spend the rest of the time on myself.
Yes, I need to focus on this. But balance is a hard one. A little bit of boundaries is a hard one. Pain is a hard one. Guilt is a hard one. She's got to find herself in the journey during this before she can help her son find himself. And she's got to go through the stages, especially in the issue of a divorce. So often in the issue of divorce, she spends the beginnings of the divorce totally denying that the divorce is taking place. How did I get here? How did this happen? And then who do I share this with? I'm so embarrassed about it. But how she goes through, you know, either the grief process or however you want to call it, the healing process or the up and down stages of all this emotionality. And she can't get discouraged about the up and downs. She's got to know that there are children watching her and her son's watching her. And how do you deal with this? How do you deal with pain? I've met so many people that have said, you know, I'm a better person today because I watched my mom handle what we went through. I'm a product of a single parent household. My mom died of cancer when I was beginning high school, and I watched my dad not deal with it. I watched my dad not deal with it and get married quickly, pretty quickly anyway. And I don't think men deal with it as well. We bury it and look for somebody else to do the replacement. And I think that one of the upsides that doesn't seem like an upside of women dealing with this kind of loss of a marriage relationship or loss of a spouse is they do deal with it. They do cry. They do, and they do talk with their friends. I mean, they just emote. Your whole gender emotes. And so I think she has to go through a process while she's taking her child. I know she can't just not deal with her child. She's got to deal with her child in the process, but she's also got to not put her own emotions on a shelf and say, I'll deal with it when after he goes out the door.
Are you saying then that there is a time and a place sort of for a season of taking care of yourself just a little extra so at least you can recoup? That's part of putting the mask on first, and that there's that season like post-divorce or post-death of a spouse. And so it's okay to take that season to do that without totally, you know, you have forgetting to, about your child.
No, you have to do both. You have to do both. But sometimes the needs of the child become so overwhelming, the needs of a little boy when dad goes out the door and the boy feeling such rejection and what's wrong with me and did I chase him out the door? The needs of that child are overwhelming, and she needs to be intentional about taking care of those and not waste a lot of time with television and other escapes. But she also needs to know, I need some time for me. Mm-hmm. Whether my friends can help or not, and we can do things with other single moms or other people or other church activities, because she's going to go through this up and down of emotion. I mean, again, denial, embarrassment, loneliness, rejection, what's wrong with me? She's going to deal with some of the same things he is. And fear, am I going to be okay? And the ever-present anger. And then over again and over again, she's got to decide she has to take care of herself. And that's one of the most important things to say over and over and over and over, because she tends to gravitate towards taking care of this child, which she has to do, and this little boy who she sees in such pain, and not remember herself and not do anything for herself. And she's got to do something for herself. She can't make the child a project.
So you're saying that if she focuses too much on the child, it'll delay the process and maybe take longer?
I think she'll hurt both of them. I think she needs to focus properly on the child. Okay. She needs to not dote on the child out of guilt and pain or take out her own pain. And all of a sudden, you know, he's sleeping in bed with her because he's six and he's begged her to. And not that that's always bad in this point, but it can become a habit that's not good. But she's got to do two things at once, as hard as that is. She's got to help him process and lie down in his bed with him at night and let him ask the question or put it the words in his mouth, why did daddy leave? And she's got to repeat to him over and over, you did not cause daddy to leave. You had nothing to do with daddy leaving. In fact, if anything, you had everything to do with daddy staying longer. And it was daddy and me, not you. And she's got to be very careful with that. But she's got to have some of her own time. She's got to carve it out after he's in bed. Mm-hmm. She's got to do something. And what she could end up doing instead is making sure the house is perfect and beautiful. She's now got some time to do the laundry and get everything, because she wants people to show she wants everybody to see the visitor. She's got all of life together.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's appearances is more important than processing the information.
Or the opposite, just unload on the child, because it's the closest that you have. So you end up unloading and damaging the relationship that child has with his dad, if that's a divorce, or just, you know, going overboard. And then the kid doesn't grieve properly either.
She's got to remember, and we'll talk about this in the days to come, but she's got to remember that the child's still a child, and the child is the same, if he's a son, same gender as the dad. Mm-hmm. And some of the statements she's making is taking out the child's whole gender. She's got to figure out what to do with her pain, and she's got to figure out what to do with her anger, and she's got to figure out what to do with her fear, and she's got to find a place to put that where she chooses a verse when different things happen and she can't make that payment and she can't believe she's in the situation that she's in and she's going to be a little bit late on her power bill or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And she's got to be slow to speak and slow to get angry and quick to listen. And there are times when she just needs to listen to God when she can't hear the voice. There's a process she has to go through. And so often we focus on the project rather than the process, and the project becomes the child rather than the process of we've got to reinvent this family. And I've got this little boy here who doesn't have a daddy, and he's trying to figure out what it means to be a man. And that's a long process. And I'm worried he doesn't have a role model. And what's that going to do to him? And all those things. And we'll talk about those in the days to come as we go through this. She's got to think and be around people that help her think. And she's got to work on her own stuff also. Not put anything on hold. It's a dual walk in this wilderness. It's very interesting. I think you could almost compare this to Moses. Moses had to help the children of Israel walk while he was walking. But he did spend some time alone in the tabernacle, regrouping on the fact that the children of Israel were making him nuts. And their complaining and whining was making him nuts. But he regrouped with the one who had the plan with God. This is a really, 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 really important time not to blame anything on anybody. This is an important time where somehow you knew this was happening, God, and I am processing what I need to do to grow and learn from this while I'm helping my son or sons process what they need to do to grow through this. It's not over. They're not by themselves. They are not by themselves. God has a plan here. So there's a lot she has to do here. And I think one of the things in her process, you know, of going through these stages of denial and embarrassment and loneliness and rejection and fear and anger, there's a word in there that kind of melts over the whole thing called forgiveness. She has to choose to forgive and ask for forgiveness. And there's no options on forgiving. And someone just heard that and pulled over on the side of the road right now and said,
You don't even know.
You are kidding me. You are kidding me. Do you have any idea what he did? Or you're kidding me. Do you have any idea what I did to get us here? I can't believe what I've done to get us here. I have to receive forgiveness, and the fact that I receive forgiveness, I have to give forgiveness, and the Bible says there's no options on that. In fact, it's hard, but it's a reality that I need to face. There's a reality I need to face. I cannot walk underwater. I don't know how fish breathe underwater and suffocate above water, and I walk above water, but I suffocate underwater. The reality is, fact, I can't walk underwater and live. Reality is, when Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer in I think it's Matthew 5, and he finishes the Lord's Prayer, and he has two verses down. And if you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Why is why is he telling us that? Because she's got to deal with her bitterness, and she's got to deal with her pain and her blaming. And she has to spend this time getting to a point of forgiving whoever she needs to forgive that's got her into this situation. And I love Eldridge has a quote, and the quote is, "Forgiveness is setting the captive free, only to realize the captive was me." Letting it go and then get up tomorrow morning mad again at the situation and doing it again and doing it again and doing it again. It's a very important process. If she wants to be a great mom to her son, one of the very first things she has to do is be a great child of the King. She's got to do whatever it takes to get to the place she needs to be. It's a long rehab, but God is her doctor. Her little boy is looking to her for strength. We're talking today about mothers of sons when dad's no longer there. Her little boy is looking to her for strength. He's going to look to her for definition. He's going to look for her for direction. But the very first thing, are we going to be okay, Mom? Because there's days when you seem okay, but there's days when, wow, that was a loud outburst over nothing but the toast got burned.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and there's safety that the kid looks for, but then mom could also be a good example of character and integrity.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's not a gender thing either.
Absolutely. So. In fact, in our home, that would be it with Rosemary. She would be the perfect example of all those things. We're also showing how you go through difficulty. We're also role modeling that they will grasp later on. I never realized till I got to be 30 what my mom did by herself to take care of us, to keep us fed, all that she processed, all that she went through. And I know that those first years when she wept and she was in pain, and yet she made the right decisions and she chose to forgive and she chose to push on. If you're a mother of a son or sons and dad's not around, remember that without a doubt, the very most important thing that you need to be working on is getting closer to God and go through the process of healing yourself.
You're listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting Today, and I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want to hear this program again, maybe share it with a single mom of a son. You can hear it and find it online at parentingtoday.org, where you can even sign up and read the daily blog that corresponds with the program. And to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, that's online at shfm.org. You can see all that they do for single moms and the many resources to help out single moms, too, if you're one of those. All the resources also benefit the ministry, too. That's shfm.org. And we'll find you here tomorrow for more on this topic of mothers of sons when dad is not around, here on Parenting Today.